Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are talking about who will save us all from the snapshire, the snappening, the snapocalypse, if you will.
What will come in Avengers 4? What will come? Hey guys, we have another sponsor this week, and we're going to do a full ad read in a little later, but I just wanted to let you know, in case you dip out early from this cast, we have a promo code for you at MacWeldon. You can go to MacWeldon.com and get 20% off if you use the promo code MCUcast. It helps out the podcast, and it gets you 20% off, so that's pretty badass. We'll read that ad later, but for now, we're going to talk about some Avengers 4. Go! Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
So, Avengers 4, it's on everybody's lips. It's on everybody's mind. What's going to happen in Avengers 4? Tell us, Jeff.
Oh, well, you know, things got to be undone and people have to be saved and somebody's got to save us all. And that's the real question, is who is going to save us all?
Yeah.
Because we can't just leave it at Thanos having won.
No, I don't think we can. And so, we're presuming that Thanos is somehow going to be beaten and that the snapshot will be undone. That is the assumption of this conversation. And we are going to get a little spoilery possibly, because we're going to talk some things about leaked photos and things like that. But we're just going to talk about what characters we think are most likely to be the savior of the universe in this coming Avengers 4. So we're going to start our first candidate, and the truth be told, it's going to be a combination of all of these. But me and Jeff picked our teams for our favorite ideas. So our first candidate is the OG Avengers, the originals, the first six. My first reason for why is it's been their story since the beginning. This is the first three phases. It's the first 10 years of the story. We've been aiming toward this Thanos build up this entire time, and it's been their story since that beginning. And I think that, it's conspicuous that of the like nine characters left in the universe that we know of, like six of them are the original six, you know, like none of the original six disappeared, which makes me think they're going to focus on those characters. And like, just looking outside the story, it would be a nice way to send off those characters and send off those actors in a touching way, because a lot of them are possibly contracts are up. Probably all of them could be done after. Like, I would not put it past any of those original six Avengers leaving. Even though they've announced a Black Widow movie, like, that could all be a misdirect. Like, it could be that any or all of the original six will sacrifice themselves and have to make hard choices. So I think they want to send off the first 10 years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with a bang, sort of, you know, and like and tie it all to the beginning. And I think we all want that. We all want those six people to be the heroes of this big overarching story. And we've had a lot of like characters going back and forth, particularly Tony. This whole story has been kind of a Tony redemption arc. He started out with this wanting to be a hero, and he's definitely done some questionable actions, and now it's he's done some actions and he's learned all the lessons, and who is he going to end up being in the end? You know, he's a man with good intentions, but like, oh man, for me it's all about like, I think Tony needs to make some decisions to maybe not be the man to save everyone. Like, he needs to put his trust in other people, because I think he trusts himself too much. But anyway, that's there's a lot you could talk about within these six, but I think that is my case for it being the original six Avengers who are the main ones who lead us into saving the world, saving the universe.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Tony, like, from movie one, has taken on the responsibility of the entire world, because he's trying to redeem himself from making all these, you know, weapons of mass destruction that have gotten into the wrong hands, and he's, you know, he's brought that back, but then he's found that, like, along with being the hero, like, in that sense, there's this higher calling for protecting the world that he has to answer.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember the bravado of an Iron Man 2 Tony Stark when he's like, I've privatized world peace. Like, he literally fit, at that point, was on top of the world and felt like he had saved the world, you know?
Yeah.
And then Avengers comes along. It's like, oh, the world is bigger.
Yeah, it's bigger than me.
The universe is bigger than you. Like, maybe you are the best defender of the world, but can you handle the universe? What is it that the exact wording that Nick Fury says when he walks in at the end of the first Iron Man movie? He says, "You're part of a bigger universe, right?"
I think it's, you're part of a bigger universe, you just don't know it.
Yeah.
Which, or you just became part of a bigger universe, you just don't know it.
Which, to me, like, I've never thought about it until this moment, but, like, that is his arc. Like, he created the suits, he thinks he's all that, and then his whole story is learning that he's part of a bigger universe. Like, he is not, there are greater powers than him, you know, and I don't know that he still believes that. Even in Avengers 3, in Avengers Infinity War, he still believes that he's the one that has to take the fight to Thanos, that he can make decisions that are going to save everyone. It doesn't work. And I think maybe he'll finally learn humility. I think his arc has to be learning humility, right? In some way.
Yeah.
Like, making a humble decision that brings down Thanos, like, that would be an amazing payoff arc. And, like, we're going to talk about it. We're probably going to talk about this character a little later, but, like, Doctor Strange literally made such a humble decision in the movie. And I think maybe Tony will learn from that example. I don't know. That's just a thought. But like, he literally took himself out of the equation because he thought it was the best thing. Like, he was like, a lesser man would, a Tony Stark, you know, honestly, would have been like, oh, sure, I see that as a possible future, but no, I got to take the wheel here. You know, I still think my presence is the best thing for the universe. Of course my presence is the best thing for the universe. Now, it's unquestionable. But, like, he watched Stephen Strange, like, take himself out of the game because he realized it was the best thing, you know? And I think that might impact him going forward.
And speaking on Doctor Strange, it's possible that Strange could be the one that saves us all. I mean, he saw 14,605,000 possible outcomes, and there was one of those where they won.
Absolutely. And so is this your next option?
This is my next option.
Are we moving on? Are we already done with the OG Avengers? You have nothing to say about the original six?
I think it's too obvious. It's too obvious. Yes, we want to couch the series and give them a good send-off, because we started with them and we're likely going to end with them.
Right. Well, I think it's not just too obvious. It's like what you have to do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, and like I said, I think the answer is all of these characters. But I guess we're trying to figure out who's going to be the MVP of this situation. Like, who's,
that's fair.
But I think obviously it's an Avengers movie. Everyone's going to take part. But I think OG Avengers is my call, probably my closest call, and I think the most likely of the Avengers to be the most predominant is Tony.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole universe started with Tony, and Tony is, like, the biggest name in all of the movies that comes out. Like, when you stick Tony Stark in a movie, then it's going to do well. I mean, we saw that with Homecoming.
Right.
And, you know, that wasn't entirely Tony Stark. I mean, the movie was good in its own right.
And it's a Spider-Man movie, which have never done that poorly.
Yeah.
Even when they haven't been good, they've done well. Like,
yeah. But when you establish this universe and establish a movie as part of this universe, people want to see the connectivity, and Tony Stark is the best place for that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, I mean, I think Tony and Steve in some form will be the heart of the story. They didn't even see each other in the last one, and I'm just like, he didn't get to make that call, you know, that he was going to make. Like, I really would like to see, I want to see them on screen together. We haven't seen them on screen together since Civil War, and it's just time. I need to see where the relationship goes from here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's
especially especially after, you know, however long the time jump is going to be between 3 and 4, because apparently, like, we've seen evidence that it's going to be quite a time jump, like, you know, 5 to 10 years after the events of Avengers 3 Infinity War.
Yeah, I think so. And that'll touch in my next point for sure. You want to move on to Strange?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Doctor Strange, because, you know, he just got his start, right? Like, he had one movie with him, like, that was his solo movie. He has his appearance in Thor Ragnarok, which was, you know, everybody liked that. And his ability to outquip Tony, or at least be on Tony's quip level, and, you know, sass the sass master. Like, he's established himself now, finally, in the universe, and people don't want to see it go. I mean, plus, you know, they're going to start filming a sequel next year, so obviously he's going to stick around. But my main drive for that is, or for Doctor Strange, is that in his solo movie, the Ancient One said, "What if I could tell you that I could reprogram your cells to rebuild themselves in all sorts of ways?" So him turning to dust is like, whatever, you know, it's just another state of me. So he could rebuild himself and then kind of be working, I guess, sort of behind the shadows and everything, like in the shadows, to set everything up and set the stage, really, to have Thanos be undone. I mean, he claimed to be the master of the mystic arts, so he's obviously taken on the Sorcerer Supreme role. He saw 14,605 possible outcomes and found the one. And he said over and over, like, this was the only way, and when Thanos left with the Time Stone, he said, "We're entering the end game now." So, like, he's seen all of this. He knows what's coming. He's been through it all. And he knows the counters, the appropriate counters to make everything flow the way it needs to flow. So I think Doctor Strange is going to have a really, really big part in how everything turns out in Avengers 4.
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing that I think is interesting about him becoming even more of a main character as we go forward, and stepping into a leadership role in the Avengers, is that we talked about the universe is bigger than you, and that's for Tony Stark, and he is a character that has kind of been like, his mind has been blown as the universe has gotten bigger and bigger around him, and he's still trying to, like, stay on top of it. And I think that Strange is a character that has more context of how exactly small we all are, because he's not only dealing with this universe, he's dealing with the multiverse. And he not only sees the possibilities of the cosmos, which I think Tony Stark is starting to see. He's just starting to see this cosmos and this universe. Strange sees the threats that are interdimensional. And I think that moving forward with the Avengers, if they, and we've talked about this a lot, where they're going to go next, bigger or smaller. And I think in some ways, I think the next few movies need to bring it down to Earth a little bit. Not necessarily Earth, the planet, but Earth as in a grounded story. But
make it smaller and more personal.
Yes. Because you can't always get bigger. But eventually, maybe 10 years from now, they're going to want to tell a bigger story than Infinity War. They're going to want to do something.
That's hard to do.
I know. But here's the thing. I think Stephen Strange is our door into that story. Because the mystical, the interdimensional, that's where we go next. Like, cosmic is where this, you know, we started on Earth with a man in a cave building a technology suit.
From a box of scraps.
Yeah. And now we've moved to that man leading the army of the Avengers. And in Avengers 4, I think he's going to be in a leadership role with Captain America, leading an Avengers-style group, either, you know, in some formation to fight this cosmic threat, you know? Maybe one of the greatest cosmic threats out there. And where do we go from there? You know, what's the next big thing? How do you ratchet that story up, except if you go interdimensional or possibly just mystical? Which, in this universe so far, the mystical kind of is the interdimensional. It's kind of how that works in the
Doctor Strange. It's the multiversal.
Yeah. And so I think they're smart to move him into a leadership role, because I think that he will be the one that his kind of corner of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is where we're going to get the stories going forward if they decide to ratchet things even further.
Yeah. I think, honestly, Doctor Strange is going to serve after Avengers 4 as more of an advisory role, because the threats that he deals with are too big for the Avengers, or, you know, it's too mind-blowing for most of the Avengers. So he deals with those on his own until it becomes too much, and then he has to get help. And that's how it's always been in the comics, too. It's always been, like, the mystical is just too mind-wrenching. Like, that head trip that he went through in Doctor Strange, the movie, you know, it would be enough to cripple the minds of lesser people.
Sure.
And, you know, he saw how big the universe was right there, like right out of the gate. That's where he was like, oh shit, this is way bigger than me. He's not having to learn it. It was just like dumped on him, and he's in the ocean now, and he's like, yep, cool. Yeah, sure. I'll build an island. What do we got? And that's where Doctor Strange lives, and the rest of them are left to, you know, do the physical stuff. So I think past Avengers 4, he's probably going to take on an advisory role and just kind of be like, oh yeah, you guys should probably, yeah, here's the thing, it'll help, go, here's a MacGuffin, you're welcome.
Yeah, well, and I think that is definitely possible. Kind of what I was getting at is maybe they'll have to face those interdimensional threats, which, I mean, we could be talking interdimensional threats, but they could turn that into Doctor Strange, you know, interdimensional threats just meant basically these portals are opening and things that could be very physical, real threats are spilling through those portals, you know, from other dimensions or whatnot, planes of existence. And the thing is, like, we could get other planes of existence could mean parallel universes, you know, which I think could definitely involve the next, you know, we've talked a lot about how they're going to combine with Fox and everything. And so I think that is really good, strong reasoning for why Doctor Strange might be the next, you know, be the savior, because he's got to, or at least be a big part of it. So yeah, I agree with you, man.
Yeah.
You want to move on to the next one?
Yeah. What you got?
Ant-Man.
Oh, so we're going smaller.
We are. We're going from interdimensional, mystical, all worlds to size of ant.
Yeah, it's less than that. Quantum.
Less than that. We're going quantum, which I don't understand the science, but from what I understand, a lot of that science kind of ties into the interdimensional, possibly time travel. I think the first reason I think he's going to be a big part of Avengers 4 is where they left him in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Him being stuck in the quantum realm, it just is kind of a thing. The fact that they put it after the credits means it's not really part of the movie that's happening. It's going to be, it's a tag to lead us into the next movie.
Yeah, it's right? The setup.
So it's an obvious cliffhanger. He's down there. They got to do something with him. He's missing. And not to mention, the only person we've seen come back from the quantum realm after a substantial period of time came back with some sort of powers we don't fully understand. And
that's true.
Oh, and we know from the first Ant-Man that if you go to the quantum realm, time doesn't mean anything. And from set photos, this is a little bit of a cheat, but so spoiler alert for set photos, we know that Ant-Man appears, and it appears to be in a different time line of some sort, a different time period.
Yeah. So yeah, there were set photos of him in the Battle of New York.
Yeah, and he definitely wasn't in the Battle of New York originally. So a lot of people are saying the quantum realm might hold the key, or maybe that quantum power, maybe that quantum energy that he could bring back with him, just like Janet did in Ant-Man and the Wasp, could be the key to time travel. That could be what they use to try to bring back everyone if they need to time travel back to stop the Snapture. I think that he is going to be a key player, at least in that role. And another like kind of reason they would want to do that is, I think, and I've brought this up before, I think the person to go down and save him is Cassie.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
His daughter is, you know, in the comics she's Stature, right?
Yep.
In the comics she grows up to be Stature. And she could be a teenage hero in this, and that would be so much fun. And it could introduce a character that, while they might be in a parallel universe for now, Stature may become a thing in the future. And that's another thing in Marvel. If they're losing all their people, they need to introduce new characters to this universe. And I seriously believe that. Cassie is going to have a serious effect on the Ant-Man story. I think she is going to be the one responsible for searching for him. Her heroics are already obvious. Like, and I'm getting, it's so sad. The whole, like, father-daughter thing gets me choked up. And I'm a little, like, choked up thinking about how much she cares about her father. And she cares about him being a good man more than she cares about him being there for her. And I don't know. I connect with that a lot. I love the idea of people wanting their love, not just the best thing for their loved ones, but they want their loved ones to be the best, you know?
Yeah.
And it's choking me up right now thinking about it.
Thanks, can hear you holding back the tears.
Thanks, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Again, I cry on this show when I think about these storylines and how much they mean. It's so sad. Okay. when she sent him off in Ant-Man and the Wasp to go be a hero, she's also probably going to have some guilt about that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of her that sent him back into the fray.
That's true.
And maybe she'll have some guilt, but also like she believes in her father so much, and she's gonna, and I don't know if she's gonna know about Janet coming back, you know, how much has he told her? Maybe in her these like, you know, experiences where they're sitting together and talking, like maybe he, before he disappeared, he already told her about bringing Janet back from the quantum realm, and you know, maybe that's the whole thing. Who all disappeared? Who was there with him, watching over him? It was...
That was Hank and...
Janet, the daughter.
And Hope.
Hope, yeah. That's right. So it's very possible he told her about the other doctor, Lawrence Fishburne, and he has all the information they need to get into the quantum realm to look
if
for
If he him. Didn't disappear. Like, I find myself concerned that maybe... maybe he disappeared, and maybe Ghost disappeared. Like, I don't want that.
I don't think you have to be fully concerned about that, just because these are the same writers who conveniently allowed the original six Avengers to be like the part of like the nine that didn't disappear. So, like, well, I think
maybe we don't know if Hawkeye disappeared or not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He's there,
but just to talk about Hawkeye for a second. What do you think would bring him into the fight and give him more motivation than anything?
I think we've talked about it before. Like, what if, like, Nat shows up at his house and he's just sitting in a room with 4 piles of ash around
him? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I really think his family is going to go, and I think he's going to go full-on whatever Ronin, whatever that thing character is.
Ronin, yeah.
And he's going to go go do whatever he has to do and join Tony Stark's mission to reverse the Snapture. I think he's gonna play a pivotal role. I don't know that he's gonna be the MVP, but I think he's gonna be an emotional core of this next movie. He's gonna be the, like, it's one thing to have just like this is so good. Like, I was gonna say it's one thing to have a bunch of faceless, nameless people out there having disappeared. But it's another thing to give them a real core to fight for, and having it be Hawkeye's family gives him a really solid reason. But the truth is, half of the characters that we've been following for 10 years just disappeared. Like,
yeah.
Not only do we have nameless faceless, they let fucking Spider-Man disappear. They let
Black Panther
disappear. They let who else all
almost
disappeared?
All of the Guardians disappeared.
Groot disappeared. Star-Lord, my favorite, disappeared. Like
Drax.
Oh my gosh. This is one of the ballsiest things a movie has ever done. To the stakes can't be higher. And so, like, we have this kind of stuff happen all the time in a movie where, like, In the first act, something so bad happens that it pulls the main characters into the fray, and often they let some side character die, like, you know, or get taken. Like, I'm just trying to think of whatever movie, like in a James Bond movie or in a Taken or something, like some side character gets kidnapped, and we know that the main character cares. And I was about to talk that way about the Hawkeye story, but, like, I don't even need that. To be totally in, I need that for the emotional core of his story, I think, but, like, to care about his, but, like, I am so emotionally invested on them replacing everyone. Like, I want everyone back. I personally love so many characters that are missing.
They're
literally fighting for the future of the universe that they have been building all this time. Oh, it's so good.
What if, talking about Hawkeye still, what if that happens with the four piles of ash and that drives him into being a darker character and he, like, starts up a Thunderbolt style team where it's all bad guys?
Oh my gosh, it would be so good. It would be so good.
Like, Nat has to bring him back from the dark side like he brought her back.
Oh, I love it. I love that so much. And what if that's exactly, like, Nat's on Team Iron Man at this point, and Iron Man and possibly Steve or whoever are trying to, like, go back in time to stop the Snapture, and you've got Hawkeye, like, leading a team to stop them because whatever they're doing is conflicting with whatever he needs to do in the current timeline to save lives, but we could have like a Thunderbolts led by, and maybe the disappearance of his, maybe he's not into the idea of going back because he's kind of a physical hero. He doesn't have these technological or mystical powers that, like, that's not his mind. He's a strategic, yeah. Like, he's just dealing with what's in front of him all the time. And
I can't deal with losing them again. Why would you bring them back for that to happen again?
Well, maybe he just doesn't believe. Maybe he's completely lost faith that there's ever even a possibility they could come back. What if we have just, like, a Hawkeye leading a team that has, like, Abomination on it?
Oh my God, yes.
And Zemo is, like, their tech guy or something. I don't know. Zemo's not really a tech guy. He's more of a strategy and whatever. But, like, what if Ultron is their tech guy? like a Thunderbolts that has, like, a reprogrammed Ultron building them suits and shit. Oh man, it could be so fun. It could be just like the most fun first act of a movie that you've ever seen. Like, there's no reason to hold any of that back, especially if it's a pocket universe that's going to go away anyway. You could have such a great what if story couched in the beginning of this, you know, of this tale that's going to go on to fix everything. They could have an amazing what-if story.
Yeah, well, you could have that. You know what would be the best to counter that? To counter your Ronan-led, given-up-hope team?
Yeah.
The still-hopeful team of the Young Avengers.
Yes.
All of the, like, the Cassie Lang-led people who were inspired by the original Avengers and still want to like bring that back and try to save everything.
I'm guessing that's where you want to go with your next point.
That is where I want to go with my next point.
Well, before we do that, that's a good tease you just dropped. But I think we need to talk about Mack Weldon.
I think we need to talk about Mack Weldon. Because, let's be honest, Mack Weldon's clothing line is better than whatever you're wearing right now.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Your underwear.
What are you wearing to listen to the podcasts? Probably your underwear. You're probably sitting wherever you are in your underwear.
You might have a shirt.
Yeah, a shirt. A hoodie, maybe.
Some
well,
socks.
It's not as good. Unless it's Mack Weldon, it's not as good as what you could be wearing.
Which is Mack Weldon.
Mack Weldon's the bomb. We both were very happy to receive some Mack Weldon products and to try them out. And they're just such quality and such so soft. And they have really nice underwear with all kinds of antimicrobial properties that, man, they keep you smelling good. And they are so, so soft. And I ordered the hoodie. I ordered a couple pairs of underwear and the hoodie. And I just like wearing hoodies. And it is the softest hoodie I've ever owned. And it is also, like, really stylish. I'm really excited about that hoodie.
Yeah, man. I can confirm all of that. When I was given the boxers and the polo that I got, I was, you know, at first I was kind of like, oh yeah, I mean, it's just, how can you do underwear wrong, right? Well, now I know that you can do underwear wrong, and it's the way that all of the rest of my pairs have been, and I have to change that. Now, because I've seen the light now. Like, this Mack Weldon pair of boxers is the most comfortable thing I've ever put on my body, ever. Mm,
that's awesome.
And this, almost the same can be said about the shirt. Like, the polo that I got, it's the silver knit, which is knit, it's got a material in it that's an anti-odor silver XT2 is what they call it, but it's the antimicrobial stuff. And I wore it on a day where I didn't work out, and it was so unbelievably comfortable. It was so comfortable that I went and like did all my laundry that night so that I could wear the shirt again. And I worked out that day, like the second time, and then wore that shirt. And like sometimes, you know, kind of a little bit of sweat odor comes through in the later parts of the day, because I continue to sweat even after showering. It's whatever. But that shirt held up and kept it all away, and I felt so great all day about wearing that shirt.
That is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I've been trying to get fit again, and I've lost a lot of weight more recently, and in doing so I've also started to try to buy clothes that are a little more stylish and a little more intentional with my clothing purchases. Not so, I've always just been a go to Walmart and pick up a whatever, pick up a superhero shirt and a redneck flannel and wear it open, so I'm a little bit more grunge. Like that's been my style, just whatever I put on my body. But here lately, I've been actually like trying to be a little more stylish and like make decisions that are more adult, I guess. And Mack Weldon is honestly where I'm going to go to get the softer parts of the wardrobe. All that under things. They have great shirt, great undershirts, great underwear. They have some great like workout type, like, you know, like sweatpants and things. And like I said, the hoodie that I got, I love.
Speaking on the athletic stuff, I got the athletic socks from them. And like, I thought it was kind of goofy at first when I put on a sock and it said R on the toe. And I was like, really? I know. Wait a minute. You mean you designed these to be left and right footed socks? Like, I've never seen this before. They're just supposed to be
either.
Universal.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know about that. I didn't get the socks. So that's cool.
Yeah. So they've like perfectly designed their socks to be fitted for the left and right foot to, you know, to better accommodate how the foot moves, because the foot does a lot. That's your connection to the world, right? So the foot does so much for you, and I did not know that I needed socks like this until I wore these.
That's awesome, man. That's really, really cool. So yeah, I think my favorite product that I have is the hoodie. I'm just like real pumped about the hoodie. It's just really, it's got really cool little accents throughout it, and I just really like it a lot. It just, I feel like it's a part of this new wardrobe and the new me that I'm trying to be, you know?
Yeah.
And I had no problem navigating their website. It was really easy to go in, use our coupon code, which is, our promo code is MCUcast, like it is for everything else. So it's easy to remember, MCUcast. You get 20% off of your first order from Mack Weldon. So check that out.
Yeah, MackWeldon.com.
What was your favorite?
My favorite thing, honestly, it's hard to decide between the boxers and the shirt and the socks.
From your description, my favorite thing is the socks, because I had no idea they had right and left socks. That's real cool.
Oh, yeah.
I've often thought about that when I put on my socks, and I put them on, and I'm just like, well, these just socks are kind of, I don't know, they normal socks are sort of constrictive, because when I do try to curl my toes, or it just feels like I'm stretching them every time. And having socks that are actually for those feet are awesome.
Yeah, well, I have a tendency whenever I pull out my socks, I kind of smash the toe down and just kind of give it a little bit of play to see what foot have I normally worn this on, and I do that without thinking about it, and then it, as I read R and L on the sock toes, I was just like, oh my God, stupid. You've been doing this the whole time. How is this not a thing?
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
The last time I wore them, it was at an event that was outside. It was a family fun day. And I was out in a park walking around and, for hours and hours and hours. And these socks kept my feet just not sweaty and so ridiculously comfortable the whole time. It was I didn't know that socks could support feet the way that these did.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's all. I can't wait to try those. Well, guys, if you are ready to kind of upgrade your wardrobe and get clothes that are more comfortable, great underwear, great for look, for feel, and for smell. I mean, they're awesome. You should check them out. It's MackWeldon.com. That's MACK. WELDON.com, and enter promo code MCUcast at checkout to get 20% off your first order. It helps our podcast out, and it lets the advertiser know that that you support this cast, and they will continue to support us. So check out MackWeldon.com and use promo code MCUcast. All right, Jeff. So I believe you mentioned some Young Avengers.
I did mention some Young Avengers. So in the comics, Young Avengers are basically children that were either just given powers and are children of particular other heroes, or they're people that were inspired by these other heroes, Cassie Lang, for example, was on the team. She is the hero Stature, and she became that hero because she's been so in touch with Scott Lang all the time and in contact with Pym Particles a lot, that she basically got to the point to where she can just grow and shrink on her own without a suit, without need for a suit.
Oh, wow.
Because, she had such inherent connection to the Pym Particle. So, in our story that we've seen so far, she obviously believes in her dad and has believed in her dad since day one. When when the cops are saying they're looking for Scott, she's like, are you looking for my daddy? I hope you don't catch him, because she knows that he's doing something good the entire time.
Yeah.
And he's stuck in the quantum realm, so she's got to get him out. She's gonna believe wholeheartedly that he is not gone. There's no way that he's gone. And I think that she's gonna be pulling together a team of children or other people who were inspired by the Avengers and use these people to try to save the world, or at least live on a good legacy in their name. If she isn't trying to save Dad and, trying to get everybody back.
Let me throw this out. What if,
okay,
instead of, we talked about, Nat having to convince Hawkeye to not stop them and to let them try to save Scott, or let them try to stop the Snapture. What if instead of him being on a team that's trying to stop the Avengers. What if Stature has grown up to follow her father's footsteps, and she has joined a team, maybe a combination of either the Thunderbolt, sort of like, you know, a pro-registration team that's like fighting, just trying to do the right thing, you know? They're trying to do the right thing. They're good people. But what if she's like, what if she's on that team, and then it's her father that comes out of the quantum realm and has to convince her that she's doing the wrong thing and to stop?
Oh, man. Like, her guilt has driven her, like, her guilt over sending her dad in to be a hero, and, like, he's gone now. That guilt has just driven her to a point to where she's just a mean hero on a bad team, and she doesn't realize it.
Yeah, like, she's on the wrong side. She's on the wrong side, and then she realizes that standing across from her on the battlefield is her father.
Oh, man.
That he's back, and that she's opposing him, and then she has to, you know, realize she has to change. There's just so many ways they could go with this story, and they're so emotionally complex and interesting and super fun. I love it. They've built such a cool universe. I love it so much. Sorry, I think I interrupted more of your Young Avengers.
No, I mean, that was basically it. I can hear you holding back tears again. It's so emotionally touching, like, all of these characters that we've been so invested in, and, like, to see, like, because we didn't see the aftermath yet. We didn't see what happens when everybody disappears. All we got was Captain America sitting in a circle of other people over a pile of ash, and he just says, "Oh, God."
Yeah. And dude, I think that's going to be one of the biggest surprises. We're all talking about, like, how will they stop Thanos? I think this world that is going to exist, and maybe for like 10 years, and really we're going to see a big impact from, I think that is going to be one of the most interesting things about this whole deal. I really think that's going to be an interesting part of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be like, almost like Flashpoint, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's going to be more like Snappoint.
DC's talked about planning a Flashpoint, but like Snappoint, I like that. But like, if they do this right, I feel like Flashpoint just like will feel absolutely like retread of this.
Like a worse rehash.
Yeah, I mean,
be like, oh, this is a worse version of Avengers. I mean, which they've already done.
They're trying
Justice League.
Now they're doing it would be so bad if they did that, because it'd be like, now they're doing they did Avengers, they copied Avengers, and now they're copying Avengers 4. But with a they're trying to save a universe that we don't care about. Sorry.
Just let it go. Sorry. Guys. Just
Sorry.
Let it go.
Yeah, that's on me. Sorry.
yep. Good stuff.
Only joking.
But are you?
someone in the DC version is just like, maybe we should let this universe go. You know the scene in Matrix 2 where Neo is like trying to stop the machines, and then he runs into a room and it's got the architect in it. And he's sitting there, and he's like, "You must understand. You don't want to do what you want to do. You want to do this instead. I can see the decision rising within you, and all this stuff." And he like basically explains the real decision he's making.
Yeah.
What if like Flash is going to save the DC universe, and then he runs into a room, and there's just like a Warner Brother executive sitting behind the desk, and he's like, "Yeah,
TVs that are showing like the greatness of the MCU." Yeah.
If you go to the left, yes, you can save the universe as you know it. But if you go to the right, we have this whole reboot thing we're coming up with. You really should go to the right. Just go to the right, man. It would be better. Oh, it's better for everybody.
Yep. And that's how they've done it with their comics, too. Shit, this got out of control. Let's reboot it.
Yeah. Just be really funny to have. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Oh man. And then like that door to the right has a 52 on it, and they're like, this should work.
Yeah, go through door number one, you could do this. Door number two, you could do that. Maybe pick door number 52. I don't know. Just an idea. Just a thought.
You know, just a little nugget for you to ponder on.
All right, so the next MVP possibility.
What you got?
For Avengers 4, who will save us all? I keep hearing the, like, that song, "Who will save your soul?" Every time we say, "Well, who will save us all?" Anyway, Daughters of Thanos. And I say
Daughters of Thanos.
I say the daughters because I'm not sure. It could go either way. But here's my thinking. Infinity War was a movie about Thanos.
Yep.
Yes, this whole 10 years has been about all these six heroes, but that movie was about Thanos. And I think there is nothing more poetic or more punishing for his sins than having his daughters, who one of which he loves, and maybe the other one he has some sort of affection for. We haven't really seen that. but he definitely created them. He built them, especially Nebula. He literally built Nebula. And Gamora, he loved and sacrificed to complete his goal. There's nothing more poetic than having those two, in some, either one or two of them, rise to like take him down.
Yeah.
I think that them being his like almost Achilles' heel of his plan that he created would be pretty, pretty poetic. And I think there's some interesting stuff saying, like pointing to that. I think the vision of Gamora at the end, where she asks him, "What did you have to give up?" and he says, "Everything."
What did it cost? Everything.
I think that shows that maybe we're not done with Gamora, at least as a concept, at least as a vision in his head. Maybe.
And I think that's the answer to why is Gamora.
Yeah, that's the answer to Drax's question. Why is Gamora? Because she has to come back and save everybody. So the vision of Gamora, I think, is a strong reason why she might be coming back, or like that we're not done with her. And then the fact that Nebula is one of the few non-OG Avengers that survived. She's not an Avenger, but she is survived on the planet with Tony, and maybe she is more than just his ride home. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
She's going to have more to do. And that's also built up by comic books. There's comic books there that she is in at least one incarnation of this Infinity War. She saved everyone. She stopped Thanos and brought everyone back. So that's possible. I don't know if they want to do that in the movies. I don't know if Nebula is a central enough character to be that, but she definitely has, there's definitely evidence that she could be. My big question is, bringing back Gamora, is her death, I have like almost two problems with them bringing her back or killing her off. Is her death too much of a change for Guardians? Like, we've had people's motivations change from movie to movie. We've had people kind of internally change from movie. Like, Avengers movie really changed people's point of views, but we've never like lost a main character in an Avengers movie. So like if you're a Guardians of the Galaxy fan and you don't care about the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you go back to watch Guardians 3 and you're like, "Where's Gamora? I don't understand." And they're like,
"Gamora?
She died off screen. Why is Gamora?" and they're just like, "Oh, she died off screen. Sorry." And it's like, "What?" Like, that's a big change to do to the Guardians team. Although, given much of the politics surrounding the Guardians movies,
there's potential that none of them could come back.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Jeffrey James wrote into us, and I don't have his exact feedback in front of me. Well, I'm sure we'll discuss it on probably next week's episode. But he wrote in to point out that apparently, Ike Perlmutter, we may have had some of the politics of the situation wrong. I said that I thought I'd heard that Marvel, and I did hear this on some podcasts, but that Marvel wanted to rehire Gunn, but Disney was saying no. Apparently, Ike Perlmutter is pretty anti-Gunn, it seems. And I don't know on the inside of the situation, but apparently Ike Perlmutter is a pretty right-wing political guy. He's pretty pro-Trump. And it sounds like that part of the reason we lost Gunn is because Ike Perlmutter's politics got in the way. And I, you know, whatever side you're on, like, you got to be able to work with the other side. You can't fire someone for their politics. That's awful. That is completely awful. And yeah, like, he had good cover for a reason to fire him, but if he's just firing him and keeping him fired for the politics, I'm even more pissed about this whole situation.
Thanks, Jeffrey James, for stirring Matt up.
Yeah, yeah, we may be talking about this for the next 20 minutes. No, we'll move on, but that just makes me even more mad about the situation. If they do leave James Gunn out of the picture and the Guardian, like, they've put it on an indefinite hiatus, and we talked about last week how it could be a possibility they just, like, decide not to make a Guardians 3 because it's too politically wrought and the actors aren't happy and they can't find a director to replace Gunn and all this stuff. I want them to replace Perlmutter if they're gonna, you know, if he's gonna let his politics get in the way like that. That's ridiculous. We should start a campaign to get him fired.
Yeah, we don't like Ike.
I really think if that's true, if that's the reason, that needs to be nipped in the bud. People, like, I know we're a very divided country right now, and people have very different views. But you're making art here, and everybody's getting involved, and It's pretty frustrating to me that we can't work together to make good art. This is the kind of stuff you're going to have to work with people that believe all kinds of things, and I don't know. Just really drives me nuts that someone would fire someone over their political beliefs and speaking out about them. They're allowed to say whatever they want. Like, I don't know. That's one thing But Gunn gave him an opening with those other tweets, and he apparently used it. That's the take that Jeffrey James sent in. So I'll read his actual comments next week. I'm sorry, I don't have him in front of me. So that's one reason they may not want Gunn back, or they may not need Gamora back if there's not going to be a Guardians 3. And so it doesn't matter if her death is too big of a change. The other thing about bringing her death back, or bring her back from death in that way, and this is going to be a problem. If you bring back any of the people who died before the Snapture, and that is Vision, Gamora, and there's one more who died before the Snapture, Loki.
Loki and Heimdall.
That's right, and Heimdall. If you bring back any of the four of them, I kind of don't think Heimdall's coming back. But the other three are so popular. Not that I love Heimdall, and I love the guy who plays him. But
goodness, some thunder back there.
Yeah. Oh, can you hear that on the thing? That's funny. Yeah. There's thunder. Yeah,
that's what you get for saying that you don't like Heimdall.
I love Heimdall, but I don't think he's as popular a character. I don't think that's very controversial. And I think that what's the actor's name?
Idris Elba.
Thank you. Oh, what was my problem? I've seen, like, a lot of stuff with him. I love Idris Elba. I loved Luther. I think he's great, but I couldn't remember his name in the moment.
Good job.
Yeah, good job me. Idris Elba for James Bond. Would any of their returns, including Gamora's, do the same thing that Marvel is been panned for so many times, and would it remove the stakes?
Death doesn't matter.
I kind of feel like any of those four returning would be another death doesn't matter. Now, Loki, he's a little trickster. That's his whole thing. So maybe it was all a trick, but...
Well, yeah, there's supposedly evidence that Loki didn't actually die, because apparently he is not left-handed, like, he's right-handed, and every time he's had a mirror of himself used, like an image of himself, it's been a left-handed image, like it's a mirror. So
wow.
The one that got strangled by Thanos was left-handed.
Wow.
Or at least had the dagger in the left hand.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. But it's yeah, I don't know about bringing him back. Especially since Thanos literally said no more resurrections this time.
Yeah, whatever. No resurrections this time.
Like, you're done. For real. But maybe not really. Like, I guess they could bring him back from the past if they're going to the past. They could, like, pick him up from the Battle of New York and bring him back.
Oh, man.
Like, past Loki comes back without all that character development that we've, you know, I could see him just being, like, the bad brother again. Comes back and realizes
all the worst.
He went through all that stuff, and now he doesn't remember it anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, like we're talking about doing with Fitz and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I think that one of those two, Gamora or
Nebula,
could be the one. Could be an MVP in this battle against Thanos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I've got an even better leading lady.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do. Captain Marvel.
Our transitions have been on point this episode.
They really have, especially when we talk about them. Like, we stop for a moment to kind of address how great they were.
Yeah, it's even better when we do that. You know, it's like a joke. Yeah. When you explain it, it just, like,
really... It just gets even better.
It just really fleshes it out and makes people understand the joke.
Yeah, and if you say the joke twice, it's even better. It's funnier.
And if you say the joke twice, it's even funnier.
Ah, good call. Well done, sir.
All right. Who's your leading lady?
Leading lady is obviously Captain Marvel. I mean, Nick Fury called her. Instead of getting on the phone with Steve Rogers or Iron Man or whatever.
That's right.
And being like, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, people are disappearing. What did you do? He was like, no, I need Captain Marvel.
She's literally, we talk about the post-credit sequence being what leads to the next thing. She's literally the post-credit sequence for Avengers 4, the movie we're talking about.
Yeah.
Or Avengers 3. She's the one pointing toward Avengers 4.
Yep. And, I mean, it's been said time and time again that she's going to be the most powerful force in the MCU and is going to be a leader. She's in the Air Force, so she's got the military experience to be the leader that they need. She's got an incredible power set that would be perfect against Thanos and his gauntlet. And apparently, like, if the flag or trophy or whatever that's hanging from Cull Obsidian's belt is any indication, she's dealt with Thanos before, or at least the children of Thanos, so she's got a rematch coming.
And, yeah, you that's, know, that's definitely that, some that hidden grudge. Evidence in Avengers. That sash is like some evidence for what you're talking about. Like, she's gonna come back and have a I think we're gonna get more of Thanos' story in her movie. Like, I think we might get, like, what turned him on to this whole quest for death or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe 30 years ago, he was sad about his planet dying, but he didn't have a plan, you know? Maybe somewhere in the Kree-Skrull War, he, like, devises the actual plan to... Maybe he finds out about the gauntlet. Who knows? I don't know.
I think that might be like a subplot or an ancillary
thing. Sure, I don't think it's going to be the main thing. Yeah, yeah. I think
the major thing is going to be the Kree-Skrull War.
And right.
You got to showcase how great she is so that you can establish her, you know?
Yeah. Like, I just think it would be amazing if Thanos is there in some capacity, even if it's like a side scene like in Guardians 1 or whatever.
Oh, man. One of the things about the Skrulls is that their home planet was decimated. What if it was Thanos that did that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then that's their reason for being jackasses and trying to find a new home world and infiltrating and shit like that. And, oh, man. And then that, you know, that makes her mad. Like, hey, you jerk face, you did this and caused them to be jerks at us. And, like, it's all you. It's all on you. It's all on you.
Mm.
Just like Tony said. And, you know, her being the savior, at least, and being the one to, like, really bring Thanos down is going to showcase her powers. That's going to showcase how strong she is and really give her a foothold in this universe. And, you know, in the comics, she's always had the ability to absorb energy, like, of any sort. So energy blasts directed at her, she can absorb. And once Thanos got all six stones in the gauntlet, that's like the first thing he did was just an energy blast toward Thor, which, you know, the hammer was able to push through. But what if Captain Marvel is able to absorb all of that and then control the stones?
Yeah.
What if that turns her into binary?
It's hard to speculate too much, or like, it's such a broad speculation. We're talking about Captain Marvel because we haven't even seen her on screen yet. Like, we don't even know what she's going to be like, what her power set's going to be like, what her new origin is going to be like. We just don't know for sure. We have a lot of good clues from comics, but we have no idea how they're going to really tell us her story. And it's we don't even have a trailer yet for that, do we?
No, not yet.
Gah. It's so soon.
It's coming out in February.
Give us trailer, people.
We need it.
Yeah, I wonder if this one will rival Black Panther for a February release, just because it's kind of a similar situation, except it's not the first major female hero. See, and I know they've been planning her movie for a long time, but it's going to look like it was a Wonder Woman ripoff. Like, oh, DC did a Wonder Woman, now you're going to do a Captain Marvel, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to look that way. But, you know, so I don't know if it's going to have the same social impact that a Wonder Woman or a Black Panther had, but I think it could definitely be a big movie. And I think if they put Thanos in there and he's somewhere in the marketing materials, like, I think that could really impact the movie as well, because everybody's like, what? We knew we were getting a part two or whatever, or Avengers 4, but we didn't know we were getting like Avengers 3.5 in the middle.
yeah,
they did that with Civil War, kind of.
Yeah, Civil War was basically 2.5.
Yeah, so...
Oh, and I misspoke on the date. Her movie's coming out March 8th, 2019.
Okay, March 8th. Cool. Man, that thunder. I don't know if you guys can hear that on the cast, but it's thundering like crazy outside my window. So any other thoughts about Captain Marvel?
All of the thoughts. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
We want her to be around for a while. Super strong. Yeah, pretty much all the things.
Yeah, I definitely think she's going to be an impact. I mean, like we said, she's in the post-credit sequence is the first tease of her, and I think that speaks volumes as to her role in the next movie.
Yeah, Nick Fury called her instead of Steve and Tony. It was like, oh shit, call control, code red, like, get Captain Marvel on the horn right now.
Yeah.
I worry that with there being the potential for the time jump, what happens? You know, how long does it take her to get back? Or where was she, you know?
Yeah.
That's the question that we really need answered.
For sure. We have no idea. We have no idea where she is or what she's doing. And I'm super interested to find out. She could be in cryostasis somewhere. She could be whatever. I just have no idea. Because 30 years is a long time. She's obviously not going to age that much. And it could be her powers preventing her from aging. We don't know.
Yeah. She could be stuck near a black hole. You know, time dilation.
Yeah.
She could be frozen in a plane in the North Atlantic. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. She's a captain.
That's what captains do.
That's what captains do. Yeah, man. I like it.
I like her coming back, too.
Yeah.
Coming back. We haven't seen her yet.
we're going to see what she's like. I'm pretty excited about this. All right, guys. I think that's about our conversation. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite to be the MVP?
My favorite to be the MVP... I like the Doctor Strange theory.
I like the Doctor Strange theory a lot. I still think my favorite, and most likely, and probably my favorite for the movie, is...
it's got to be Tony.
Tony, the OG Avengers, like, finishing their arcs that they've been on for 10 years. Like, that's what I want to see out of this movie. It's kind of what I've wanted out of both these movies. And I'm, a lot of us were speculating who was going to die in Avengers 3. And I think that was a little naive because I really wanted to see them in Avengers 4. Why would they kill them off? You know, it, when they're going to have this great way to wrap up their storylines in this movie, you know? So
yeah,
I'm super excited about it. All right, guys. Well, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. You can support the cast today by visiting macweldon.com. That's M-A-C-K Weldon.com. Using the promo code MCUcast to get 20% off. That's pretty awesome. If you want to reach out to us, go to MCUcast.com, at MCUcast on Twitter, Facebook.com/MCUcast, MCUcast@gmail.com, or call us and leave us a voicemail at 573-CAST-MCU. If you'd like to support the cast monetarily, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/MCUcast. Thank you to everyone there. We are on the home stretch of sending out our first big swag release. It's going to be the first two swag releases, actually, all at once. So we'll be doing that to you guys very soon. We're just waiting on the designs. It's going to be great.
We're just waiting on the art.
They're going to be cool. They're going to be real cool. All right, guys. We will be back with you in your feed very soon. I think next week we're going to do a crossover with Superhero Ethics.
Yeah. Talking with Matthew Westfox about Ethics of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so that is going to be a really, really sweet conversation. I really like listening to that cast, and I'm excited to kind of, you know, share the mics with them. All right, guys, we'll be back. Talk to you soon.
Until next time, true believers.